The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In your blessed name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's an interesting Sunday for us. It's the, if you look at the liturgical calendar, churches have this sort of option today to celebrate and hear the scripture verses from the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, if they haven't had a service to celebrate the ascension, which we did on Thursday. So this is the Sunday after the ascension, and we have those beautiful scriptures to read today. The ascension, of course, is very important in the liturgical calendar because it represents the 40th day of the Eastertide, the 40th day of the Easter season. It's the day where we hear the story of Jesus ascending into heaven, and it gives us that hope of the glory for each and every one of us, that our bodies will one day fall apart. Mine's already doing that, I don't know about you. It's going to fall apart even worse, and our spirit man is going to ascend to the arms of our Savior. And then the other good news of that is that our Lord promises us that those who have faith in him will one day also be restored into the perfect glorified body that God had in store for us before the fall of this world that we find ourselves born in. So that ascension is so important. And as we talked about on Thursday night, what makes the ascension so important to Christians is the condescension. And I know that that sounds like a negative sort of terminology because we say, oh, don't be condescending with me, don't speak down to me. But the reality is that's what God has done. God has condescended from heaven above to earth. He came from heaven above as Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God incarnate, so that he could live with us, he could suffer like us, he could die for us. On the third day, he could rise again and he could ascend to give us that promise of our ascension one day. But also, so that he could ascend and send us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the divine wisdom that lives in each and every one of us when we accept Jesus Christ. And that's sort of where we're heading next week on the 50th day of the Easter season. When we get to Pentecost, we have that opportunity to hear that beautiful story from Acts when the Holy Spirit descends upon all those faithful believers in Jerusalem and they speak in other tongues, the sign of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Christian church. But here we are today, that Sunday after the ascension. And here we are today with also a very significant secular date on our calendar, not on the liturgical calendar, but on the U.S. calendar, a day where we've set aside annually to celebrate mothers. And that's often an interesting sort of concept for preachers. As I had opportunity to share yesterday with our group that gathered for intercessory prayer, it can be a tough thing for a church to handle a holiday like Mother's Day, because it is a secular holiday, or some who don't even want to acknowledge it in the church might call it a Hallmark holiday. But the reason that it becomes tough is, I think for many of us, we have this concept of Mother's Day as something that's quite joyful, but it's not necessarily the case for every single person. There very well could be people sitting out in the pews today who did not have a good relationship or do not have a good relationship with their mother. And so we need to remember that, and we need to remember those people, and we need to pray that Jesus Christ can reconcile and heal those sorts of relationships. It's very possible that we have ladies in churches throughout the country today who are sitting in pews who want to be or wanted to be mothers, and yet they are not or were not. And so a day like today could be very troubling for them as well. And again, I think that that's something that we should be mindful of and we should be prayerful for, to remember those folks. Some of us, our mothers still are with us. And if that's the case, I encourage you to go up to mom, give her a nice big hug, give her a kiss, and let her know how appreciative you are because God used her to bring you to life in this world. And then for some of us, our mothers have gone on, been called home to heaven. I was doing the math earlier today, I think when I was talking to Ms. Sharon, and it was amazing to me that this is actually already my fourth Mother's Day without my mom. How quickly that passes. But it also gives me a chance, and I hope that if your mom has gone home to be with the Lord as well, that you take that chance to look back on fond memories, to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for all the wonderful things that your mom did for you when her life here on earth was still ongoing. And to offer thanks to God for the repose of her soul, that if you know that she was a believer, that she rests in the arms of her Savior today. Jesus lets us know in the gospel today that prayer is a very important thing. So I encourage you to pray for those who are in need, to pray for those who have strained relationships with their family or their mothers or their fathers, to pray for yourself if that's the predicament you find yourself in, to pray prayers of thanksgiving if you have the warmth and love and support of your mom and your family, and to remember that the gift of Christianity is the fact that even if we don't have a perfect mother, or we no longer have an earthly mother, that in some ways the Christian faith offers us some beautiful models of motherhood. We have the mother of Jesus Christ, Mary, perhaps the most obedient mother in the history of the world. The Holy Spirit came to her, and praise God, she accepted obediently what the Holy Spirit called her to do, to carry our Lord and Savior in her womb. And she went through something that we pray mothers don't have to go through, but we know that some do. That is witnessing and experiencing the death of a child. But we have so much that we can learn scripturally from what it is that God would have us learn about Mary. And then, you know, the church, the Christian church in some ways has its own maternal aspects about it as well. We're the body of Christ. And so we're considered the bride of our Lord, the bride of Christ. And because of that, the church itself becomes in some ways a mother to us. My prayer is that Good Shepherd can continue to fulfill that role, to be nurturing, to be maternal, to, like a mother feeds her baby, to be able to feed the children of God with his holy word, to feed the children of God with the sacraments, the graces of God that he has available through the motherhood of the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus prays today for his disciples. His prayer is that they may all be one. I know that's a familiar prayer to many of us because our former denomination for over 50 years held that prayer as their official motto. It's sad that they don't any longer, and they've traded out the prayer of Jesus Christ for a quote by Gracie Allen as their official motto. But we need to pray for them. We need to pray that they be Christ-centered, that their eyes be on the Lord Jesus Christ and all the gifts that he has in store for all of his children. Because just like a mother wants nothing but the best for her kids, you are a child of God, and he wants nothing but the best for you. And I pray that you receive it this morning and that you do so in the blessed name of our Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let all of God's children say amen.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, I invite you to rise this morning and let us profess our faith.